taken from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And here is the scripture. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
When I mention the word Christmas, what do you immediately think of? Well, some of you may think of right away holidays, or shoppings, or peace, or joy. Most of us probably relate Christmas with good feelings, right? But how about if I mention these words? Teenage pregnancy. Refugee crisis. Massacres of children. That's kind of crude, right? But all these are also true biblical facts relating to Christmas. So Christmas message really relate to many situations in our world. Ultimately, in today's scripture we just read, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. As verse says, this is the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Now this term Jesus Christ, we are very familiar. It's so familiar that some people confuse that Jesus is the first name and Christ is his last name. But in reality, Jesus is the common name for the Jewish people. The Hebrew equivalent is Joshua, which means God saves. Now Christ is a title, just like a title of Mr. Principal or Mayor, Mr. Mayor. Christ is not a last name. Christ's Hebrew equivalent is Messiah, meaning the anointed ones. In the Hebrew culture, there are three types of people are being anointed. They are the king, the priest, and the prophets. And Jesus, as the Christ, fits all three of these roles. The scripture says this is the birth of Jesus the Messiah. What's the significance to introduce Jesus as the Messiah? If you look at the beginning verses of Matthew, this is how Matthew begins. It says a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why is it so significant to mention Jesus being the son of David and the son of Abraham? The fact is, Jesus being the son of David is remind us of God's promise to King David 1,000 years ago that his son will be, there will be a king, a son of David will be a king of Israel forever. And the son of David remind us that God promised Abraham that you will have an offspring, and through this offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed through him. So in other words, Jesus is the promise of that offspring. The verses that we read just now is probably a very familiar verses to most of us about the birth of Jesus. From this passage, I want to draw your attention first. It's the virgin birth of Jesus. The virgin birth is the most incredible miracle of history. The gospel presents the virgin birth, it's not as a myth, it's not a parable. It is a very clear, crystal clear fact. Not only in the Gospel of Matthew, it's also recorded very clearly in the Gospel of Luke. Here in this passage, it's talk about Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit, not by a human father. In verse 18, it says, when Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, they have no sexual union. Before they came together, she was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 25, it says, Joseph had no union with Mary until she gave birth to a son. In our Apostle Creed, we declare that Jesus, the Son of God, was born of the Virgin Mary. So we affirm what the scripture revealed to us, that Jesus historically was born of a virgin. And this is a miracle, a divine act, showing us that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Now, why it is important that Jesus is both fully God and fully man? Because if Jesus is fully human, then he dying on the cross is representing, substituting whole humanity for our sin. God did not send an half God or a half human or an angel to die on the cross to save humanity. God sends his son, fully human, to die on behalf of all of us. And he is God, meaning that his death had infinite benefit to save us. As Jesus, fully human, going through the entire cycle, even from birth, that means Jesus sympathized with us. He knows our weakness. He knows our temptation. He faced them also. He experienced pain, thirst, suffering, and he understands us. Second, in this scripture that we read today, Jesus the Messiah came to be the Savior for the sins of the people. The angel told Joseph that as the father, you are going to name your child Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, which means God saves. But the angel clarified that Jesus saved, God saves the sins of the people. Jesus means God save. But the angel clarified the purpose of Jesus coming on earth is to save people from the sins. The disciples in Jesus' time was mistaken, thinking that their Messiah is to save them from the Roman oppressions. Even people today, sometimes mistaken, he says, oh, well, since the Jesus cannot solve the violence, conflicts of the world today, maybe this Prince of Peace is not relevant to us anymore. But the reality is, Jesus came to save us from the root cause of today's problem, the sins of the world. Since the loss of Eden at the very beginning, since humanity fall to sin, to sin, all the problems, broken relationships, violence, murders, pride, all this was brought into the world. The Bible clearly says that and helps us to anticipate the coming of a Savior to redeem us from sins. Psalms 130, verses 7 and 8, talk about, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So throughout the Bible, it's consistently talk about God will provide a Savior to save us from all sins. And that is the root cause of all our problem today. Thirdly, the birth of Jesus is a fulfillment of God's plan. In verse 22, the scripture says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The verses here is quoted from Isaiah chapter 7. It described at that time King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, was under threat from king of Israel and also king of Aram. The two northern kingdoms joined together in some kind of unholy alliance to go to beat up King of Judah. God sent the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz and saying that these people from the north, they will not prevail. And God gave King Ahaz a sign. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God at that time comforted King Ahaz. He says, trust in me, and I'll give you a sign. And the author of Matthew take this as a double fulfillment. Not only that verse comforted King Ahaz, it is also pointing to another prophecy of the birth, of the virgin birth of Jesus. Celebrating Christmas is a reminder that God's salvation plan will come to pass at the promise, just as his promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. God is always faithful. God's promise never fails. Just like how, at the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus on earth, also, at the fullness of time, God, Jesus, will come the second time on earth, as he promised. Not only is this passage about Jesus Christ, it is also a passage about an often forgotten character, Joseph. Often around Jesus in the pageant of Christmas story, we hear about Mary, we hear about shepherds, and we have the wise men coming. And often we forgot about this character, Joseph, Jesus' father. Perhaps one of the reasons is Joseph is a man of few words. As a matter of fact, Joseph never speak one word recorded in the Bible. Think about it. Mary sang a song. Mary talked about a lot. And Joseph never have a word recorded in the Bible. Yet this man, Joseph, deserves to be a model for all of us. Here in this passage, we learn that Joseph is both a righteous and a compassionate man. When he found out that Mary was with child, he said, Scripture said, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Righteous is to do the right thing in accordance to God's law. If we imagine we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes or his sandals, whatever, think about the moment Joseph realized that his betrothed wife, his pledged wife, was with child. How would you feel? He probably would be shocked, deeply hurt, angered, disgraced. How could that happen, you know? She is pledged to me. She's my betrothed. How could that be that she is pregnant? Maybe adding injury to insult is when Mary told her that, oh, no, I'm still a virgin, you know. So it's like putting salt upon wounds. How can you do that? The righteous things for him to do maybe is to expose this sinful act of Mary, adultery, which according to the law, Jewish law, would be stone her to death by Moses' law. Yet the Bible talk about Joseph is also merciful to Mary. he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. I think for most of us, it is easy to be righteous. It is easy to point out to people's mistake. You did something wrong. But it is not so easy to be graceful, to have mercy. But for Joseph, he did both. Second, Joseph is both trusting and obedient. And I think he set a very good example for us. God sent angel to intervene into Joseph's dilemma. At the most painful moment in his life, he said, "What should I do? What should I do? You know, my betrothed wife, you know, is not honest with me. It's not faithful." And then he was wrestling in his heart in pain. And God remembered that. God cared for that. And God sent an angel to intervene, appear in a dream to Joseph. The angel said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife," and explain the situation. Maybe affirm what Mary told Joseph. So what is the response of Joseph? The scripture in verse 24, it says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." The angel said so. He woke up and he did it. Joseph was trusting and obedient. Much better than Moses. When God sent Moses to do something, Moses said, "Oh no, I cannot speak, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. Why not send my brother?" When God sent Gideon, you know, "I'm going to choose you to rescue the Israelites, your people." And Gideon said, "Oh, give me signs, you know. I want this wet, I want that wet." He asked all sorts of questions. But Joseph, just the angel says so, he rise up and he did it. Later on, again in chapter 2, after the arrival of the Magi from the east, and then King Herod was trying to locate the baby Jesus and try to kill him. And the angel directed Joseph, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt to run away from King Herod." And then the scripture says, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. He just followed right away, you know. How many of us follow the command of God right away? You shall not steal. You shall not covet your neighbor's property, his wife, his possession. And how many of you listen to God's word and just do it? Joseph is both trusting and obedient. He'll never know whether the child Mary carry is really the savior of the world. The baby cry, the baby needs change diapers. The boy eventually sometimes do things that parents don't like. You know, like going to Jerusalem and then just staying there without telling your parents, you know, and then the parents suddenly realize, oh, where's my boy? You know, and then come back, say, well, how can you do that? And Jesus will say, you know, I should be in my father's house. What kind of talk is that to your parents? Joseph sometimes have doubts, but Joseph always in the Bible follow the command of God. Joseph is just an ordinary carpenter. He's not a philosopher. He's not a priest. He's not a nobleman. He just grew up in a little village, Nazareth, a place where no good things can come from Nazareth. So he's a nobody, just an ordinary person. Yet, when God sent his son on earth, he chose this ordinary person to take care of his son. Probably why? Because Joseph is a person who trusts and obeys. So we can all learn from Joseph. We can learn a lot from Mary, but we can also learn from Joseph. Let us pray. Lord, in this Advent season, we thank you for the opportunity to marvel at your coming. We look at and anticipate how you fulfill your promise in the scripture. And may this also inspire us to continue to trust and obey to what you have commanded us, how to live our life in this world in obedience to your will and your law, and in obedience to the hope that you have placed to all of us, so that at your second coming, we don't know when, but we know that it is imminent. Help us to be faithful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace."
Mm-hmm. such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christian, fearful sinners, heed the silent word is pleading. Nail, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King.